On a recent afternoon in July, Dorca Jackson and I are on the side of North Tongass Highway in Ward Cove. We're in a ditch deep in the weeds. She has gloves on, a small shovel, and a focused look. She's keeping her eyes open for a plant with a specific color.
They have a yellow?
They're yellow, yes. Yeah. Victoria and I call it evil yellow. This is what I got right in front of the Pioneer Home. I was having lunch with a friend, and she said, I saw some in front of the Pioneer Home, so we went and pulled it up.
This evil yellow weed is called tansy ragwort, an invasive plant that made its way to Southeast in the 90s. Jackson and Victoria McDonald helped lead the Cooperative Weed Management Area Group in Ketchikan, a volunteer organization that helps pick invasive weeds in the area. The green stalks and yellow flowers are everywhere in Ward Cove. McDonald spots them easily.
You haven't seen the big areas. Now here's one. So this is a young guy. Here's another, there's another, there's one. So your eye becomes attuned to the plant after a while.
And because it's everywhere, it can be hard to decide where to pick them.
This area's been done. I think we should go down along the road.
We just found
it's really
two plants.
Bad. I know, it's really bad over there. This is the scary section.
Tansy ragwort is considered evil by the two because it's actually toxic. Livestock in the lower 48 that eat it can die. It can cause a rash if touched by people, and it outcompetes native plants like salmonberries. Jackson remembers reading about tansy ragwort for the first time from a newspaper article in the 90s.
I saw this flower going into town, and I thought, what a pretty yellow. I think that's that one I saw in the paper. And I looked, and sure enough it was.
What started as a few plants have become fields of the yellow blossoms in Ward Cove. Jackson and McDonald pick thousands of pounds of the weed every year to burn because it spreads so easily. And in the coming decades, the spread of invasive weeds like tansy ragwort and Japanese knotweed might grow for multiple reasons. Patty Crossey is the invasive species manager for the Tongass National Forest. She says climate change predictions indicate Southeast will be warmer and wetter in the future, and invasive plants in general adapt better to changing climates.
Some years you'll have really wet climates, some years you'll have, drier climates. But the thing about non-native plants is they seem to be pretty resilient to those changes in particular. And so they may end up sort of winning the day, if you will, with regard to other native plants that might not be quite as resilient to those changes.
Crossey says along with climate change, disturbance in areas because of new construction and mining also help invasive plants spread. But it takes a combination of these factors for invasive plants to have an advantage. That means remote rainforest is probably protected, but other places like Prince of Wales Island, not so much.
Prince of Wales Island is the number one place. Well, why? Because we've got lots of roads, we've got lots of disturbance going on for extraction of commodities, and that is where the footprint is. So we're going to see an increase over there, I believe, and within that landscape, yes, it's going to be, and it is, highly altered.
Marine invasive species in Southeast are another concern. Gary Freitag works with the Marine Advisory Program of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. His problem is the European green crab, an invasive that is marching up the west coast toward Ketchikan.
They've done more damage on the east coast to fisheries than about any other invasive species. I think they're talking like the shellfish industry in Oregon and Washington have been really hit hard on the order of $50 million type of impacts. Yeah, I expected it 2 years ago and haven't found any yet.
Freitag says the European green crab could hurt the shellfish industry in Southeast. A warmer climate in Southeast means warmer waters. And he says warmer waters could help green crab larvae survive.
If they can breed, and that's what I mean by the larvae surviving, then you've got an issue. You know, you can actually establish colonies and get them going, and then they can be impacting our Dungeness fisheries or our clams and resources of our clams.
Freitag says community involvement is crucial in containing invasive species in general. That's what Dorica Jackson and Victoria McDonald hope to encourage with their efforts. Jackson plans to keep picking invasive plants until she physically can't anymore because she simply wants to protect the environment.
If you see one plant along the side of the road, and there's just one, if you get that, you've got the pioneer. And if you get the pioneer, you don't get a colony. And if you don't get a colony, then you don't get the town.
Jackson hopes to get more people involved in community weed pulling events in the future. In Ketchikan, I'm Liam Niemeyer.